I want to speak tonight about the perfect discernment and discrimination that the Lord Jesus has of our circumstances down here. And the verse I have in mind in connection with that is in Revelation chapter 1. And it's particularly a phrase in verse 14. In the latter part of the verse, the clause that says, "And his eyes were as a flame of fire." Now, it is a judicial setting here, and the churches are in view, professing assemblies of God's people. Seven is the number of completeness. There are seven candlesticks. In verse 13, and in the midst of the seven lamps are candlesticks, one alike unto the Son of Man, one who has this character of the Son of Man. That would tell us, first of all, of his humanity, of his manhood, of the reality of the incarnation, that God, the great God, has been manifested in the flesh, and indeed seen of angels, and preached in the world, and eventually received up in glory. One like unto the Son of Man, that he is indeed the Son of Man. And he is, of course, the Son of God. But the fact that it is saying one like unto the Son of Man means that he is in that character. That is to say, he is delineated in such a way as the Son of Man is presented in the Old Testament scriptures, particularly in the book of Daniel. For one like unto the Son of Man comes and is brought near unto the Ancient of Days. So, therefore, we have the suggestion here not of his manhood, but of the fact that he is the one who was presented prophetically, the one who came in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. But here, he's concerned with the state of things amongst the profession people, the professing people of God. And he's here in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And indeed, when we turn to chapter 2 and verse 1, it says that he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He is active. He's walking. He's concerned. He's interested. Just as much in science for sure as New England or Old England or Northern Ireland or Australia. Wherever there are believers and whenever there is a church condition of things, we see that it comes under the scrutiny of the eyes of Christ. And we know here that it's the professing church. We know it's that aspect of the church as the house of God, as that which is seeking the answer to the truth, And we know that the Lord Jesus has to point out many things, beginning in Ephesus where they've left their first love, and a catalog of various church conditions right through until the whole thing is so nauseous to Christ that he, I'm almost going to say throws up, he spews it out of his mouth. That's a sad end for Christendom. And perhaps we see the tendency of things around us. Perhaps the fact that there are only a small number of us here tonight, and that there's so much lukewarmness, certainly in this country. I know that in South America, God is working in a remarkable way. I've heard that, I'm sure, possibly some here can confirm it later. So we're thankful for what God is doing. But certainly in my country and in this country, there's so much indifference to the truth, and there's so much lukewarmness, and there's so much corruption, and there's Jezebel teaching, and there's wrong doctrine, and there's wrong practice. But the point about it is, the Lord Jesus has eyes of a flame of fire. He has a perfect discernment of it, and the way in which that is made good to us is the way in which he searches us. The way in which that those eyes, as a flame of fire, come home to us, it's through the Word of God. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God is, I have to be careful here to quote King James Version, the Word of God is quick. That's old English for living. The Word of God is living. And it is powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Goes to the root of the matter, because it says in verse 12 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's reaching into a person's innermost being. I would be hard put to distinguish between the soul and spirit. And man is a tripartite being. And very often we say body, soul, and spirit. But actually the Word of God puts it the other way around. And the Thessalonians, the first epistle, Paul prays that our whole spirit and soul and body would be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He at least put the spiritual element first in the fact that we are spirit beings and beings that are in relation to God. Very often it's the other way around, and people refer to the body and what is external and what has to do with down here in this world. Be that as it may, it's difficult, I think, for us to distinguish between the soulish, the soul and the spirit and the center of a man's moral being. But this verse is certainly saying that the Word of God goes right home to him. It internalizes us, really. It goes right, goes deep. And it's at that level